All right, we are recording.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is 11:05. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. I will call this meeting to order. We have no guests. Were there any public comment?
No.
Nobody's digitally, right?
Correct.
All right. Out of order. Modifications to the agenda? Nope. Draft meeting minutes. Everybody's had a chance to see the meeting minutes. Any edits?
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
The motion approved. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Anyone that's unanimous. All right, treasury reports.
Mr. Dave. Chair, members of the committee, we continue to have good and bad things to report. Excuse me, I've got a sister who had a heart attack. I might need to take that.
Oh.
I do not. We had positive revenue above budget, almost $90,000 above budget for the month for LCRDA. Also very favorable.
That's year to date.
That's year to date, excuse me. Also very favorable for expenditures. We were $105,000 short of what we had budgeted, under what we budgeted. So LCRDA reported $120,000 favorable to budget. However, we still had a loss of $186,000. And that follows a loss previous month, year to date, was $126,000 for NFIL and $312,000 for the combined. So, as we have reported, things are not looking favorable in terms of our revenue, net income. We will simply say that revenue sort of ceases now to exist. Expenses will come down, but we're still expecting to be in a negative cash flow position. We're in a period of sort of unknown for a little bit. We'll kind of watch and see what things happen, but it appears to be more on the unfavorable side than the favorable. We had a budget committee meeting yesterday. I'll move on down to that. Yesterday's not the right day, Tuesday. Again, the budget committee is challenged to some extent because we are in such an unknown territory. If you look toward the back of the presentation that was sent to you, the packet, you'll see the budget as is proposed and recommended to you by the budget committee. I will commend staff, Heidi and Michael, for doing a really yeoman's job of trying to pull together things that we don't really quite know for sure, but they've made some very positive assumptions as to what will likely happen on the conservative side. And at this time, I'll invite staff to make a presentation to you of the budget for the coming year.
Okay, you guys should all be looking at this. And really, Kevin, you're the only new one because Tom and David and I were in the room when we went through the budget earlier this week. Overall, the primary assumptions, and I'll break it into two pieces like we did last year with the NFIL. The assumption right now I'm working off of is that we have transferred this thing by 12/31. Mm-hmm. That may prove to be a bad assumption, but that is my current assumption. FSU is managing all the operations, the member vetting, programming, doing all the services and, you know, and the programmatics, if you will, in the building. That the bill to scale will not be transferred in that window of time. Maybe subsequently, don't really know how it's going to shake out. I've got to get the lab figured out before I can even really get any progress or traction on the bill to scale. So I've made no assumption of any different thing on that.
Okay.
Right now, and FSU is running this laboratory with their staff on their dollars. We are not funding that in any way, shape, or form. Just a reminder, our initial interest payment for FSU is not due till June on this building, so this model does not contemplate making that payment because I'm assuming I'm transferring before that. And then lastly, we are responsible for insurance, janitorial, landscaping, utilities, waste, all those things. That is the RDA's responsibility. And so if you look there at the bottom, you see that just for the first 3 months of the fiscal year, that's from October to December, we're going to spend $193,000 doing those things. If you go to the next page, you'll see a little bit of a breakdown detail. There's no payroll, but utilities, services, property admin, insurance, those are how we get to that number.
to that 192.
To that
193.
Yep. Yes. And I'll bring your attention also to the very last line there that says CapEx. That's $45,000. If you recall, we were going to do some work on the floors. We decided not to do that with Culpeper. We were led to believe that was a $30,000 to $45,000 kind of expense. We were going to do it outside of that. FSU has determined we need to, with their EH&S folks and laboratory specialists, that it needs to be a far more comprehensive floor addressment with an epoxy coating or some kind of vinyl coating. There may even be some work on some ceiling. That's probably on the magnitude of $250,000. I have represented that we have $50,000 left in the construction budget allocated to do that work. We've got $600,000 or $700,000 for FF&E. I don't believe even the most liberal definition of FF&E would consider epoxy coating floors to fall into that category. So, and I've made that very clear. We could buy equipment, we could buy things like that. The floors we're not going to be able to help with. So FSU is trying to run the traps on how they will fund that first protect. They just don't want stuff soaking into the concrete.
Okay, well, that was the answer to the question.
Yep, that's the issue. So in the question, you don't have to do the hallways, but you've got to do disposal areas, you've got to do chem labs, biolabs, all sorts of places where people would have potentially hazardous chemicals that then have a problem. And some of them you'll need it in the ceilings even, in fact, for vapor to get in there.
Was that just a miss in the design of the building?
I don't know, based on what I, and again, you're way out of my expertise here, but we've talked to enough folks who said, there's some judgment associated with this, that some people would argue what they're proposing to do is overkill. Again, if it's their building ultimately, then that they get to do that. I mean, Mary Jo was very involved in the specking out of this building. So, but what, frankly, Valerie and Alyssa have seen elsewhere in their other laboratory environments, this is what they're have seen before, Mary Jo. And I don't know that they're doing all this some of the same exercise in IRCB. So it's an open issue. I bring it to your attention that there's still $50,000 in our account. I don't think we're going to have to go out and bid it if I can keep it below, you know, I'm limited to $49,000, whatever we've got to do to make sure we're cooperating. But the lion's share in that bid work, and they've gotten multiple bids. I think Bill has helped them with that. It's going to be $200,000 plus potentially. So what we can contribute, otherwise we're just dipping into the LCRDA operating money. But we did plan to spend that money, so I've left that. Up to 50. Well, we got to fix a light pole because of the tornado. We've got some still we're still doing some electrical things.
No, I spent on the floor.
Anyway, so that's the detail on that. If you go to the third page of this thing, it's titled Annual Operating Budget LCRDA. Again, main thing I talk about my assumptions, right? I'm considering that the budgets are separated, obviously, that we'll continue CAM billing for the entire fiscal year. It may be shorter than that, but that's what it's standing at right now. We will maintain insurance for CAM, for general liability, director and officer for the entire fiscal year. We will retain our existing payroll and staff for the entire fiscal year, and that we'll be using our reserves to fund operations. Because literally, as David mentioned, revenues are effectively zero as of this Monday, right? Anyway, so you can see we make a little bit of money off common area, CAM rather. We've got some interest income. The other program is restitution from Shana or Shauna, whatever her name was. And then I've made some very draconian, if you will, estimates on proceeds related to the tornado, which would include the buildings and the pond and the trail. So there, some of that affects Collins. There's some Johnson stuff. And so it's going to be spread a little bit. We may end up giving that money to FAMU. I've confirmed with our insurance company that there's no prohibition in us transferring the proceeds. They may hold back a little bit of depreciation, which apparently is fairly standard practice. If we send pictures of completed work, they send you the balance of that. So I did confirm that with our insurance company. I think Dustin had requested that. Okay. Anyway, and so I've got a $175,000 kind of upside down picture there. You'll see $200,000 coming in. I expect that to have been very conservative, as David alluded to. But I don't have any better number. I'm guessing no matter what I do, and I'd rather guess worse than better. Mm-hmm. The net impact, you can see that throws a consolidated net cash flow for the year for the combination of things. With those assumptions to about $930,000 we will consume. Today's cash of all sources that I'm talking about is about $2.2 million right now. So you do the math on that. We're still going to have some expenses for the balance of this month. We'll have inevitably some things that tail out. I'm just giving you today's cash. That's not where I think really the right September 30 number is. It could easily be $100,000, $150,000 less because things haven't come in yet that I thought would already be here. But I'm expecting us to end next fiscal year somewhere between $800 and $1 million in the bank. Again, based on these assumptions. So again, the problem, I'd like to think I've got plenty of margin in there that I would be closer to the higher number, but that's kind of the range I think we'd be in, $800 to $1 million, September 30th, 2025.
Right.
Obviously, our biggest operating expense, and you can see the detail on the last page, is payroll. Services and maintenances, service maintenance that still exists because of the lab. Insurance gets much more modest because we're not insured a bunch of buildings. And that was the budget that was approved.
Gentlemen, you heard a presentation of the budget that has been recommended to you by the budget committee. This needs your vote up or down, and it is to send it to the full board for its ratification or its approval, actually.
I'll move that.
Motion's been made. Well, excuse me, I'm not the chair of this meeting.
You're welcome.
Wow, it's a coup.
Go for it.
I almost fell for it, too.
You bit hard.
I did.
So I will second the motion.
Okay, so the motion was made. It's been properly seconded. Any discussion on that? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 That's unanimous.
I will say this is the worst budget I've ever approved.
Well, it's the numbers are challenging, but the clarity of the budget is fantastic.
Yeah.
So thank you for walking through it in this.
I'm not raising money.
Yeah.
To clarify.
I guess the story then is from today. There's a two-year window.
Max.
I mean, we need to be real mindful of that.
That's right.
Unless something dramatically changes.
And just for my edification, the only thing that will be left if everything goes as we plan is the Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. Have we ever done an appraisal on that?
There was an appraisal. It's many years old. I did do a phase one recently.
I knew you did a phase one.
But we have not gotten another appraisal. I mean, that's the kind of thing you could either go to a real estate folks and just say, hey, find something value of this thing. That's right. I was holding out hope. I told you guys I mentioned residential elevators for some way for us to use it or tie it up with long-term revenue or something, or we end up get it back to the county. Remember, the county gave it to us, traded it to us. But that thing, that won't be the impediment at the end of the day because that's a fee simple property, which, you know, we've got a lot of flexibility other than it's got to be used for some public purpose, public benefit.
The only thing I agree with you, but knowing what its value is, if we did have an opportunity, might not be a bad thing.
I could ask Chip Johnson or somebody to take a look for me.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, that concludes the presentation of the Treasurer's Report.
Thank you. Nice work on all of that. All right, let's move on to item number 8, the NFIL and IPTLH.
There are, as you would guess, as now we're occupying it, we're finding little this and that. You know, Bill identified a couple of electrical things. Some of them that we thought were in the specs, frankly, that turned out not to be in the specs. Some of them are things that we can't do this thing we thought we were going to do because the infrastructure isn't in place, some of which are Culpepper's responsibility, many are not. So we're working through those. They've been responsive, not as responsive as we'd like, but they haven't debated or anything. They just are slow. We got the door issues. We also obviously have a lab manager in the building now that FSU has hired, in addition to the program manager and a marketing person. So we're using the term, if you hear it and you talk to them, they talk a lot about punch list. A lot of it is stuff they want to do or would have done. It is not a failure in the construction. You could argue it's a failure in our design process, but it's not a failure in the construction process. There are a handful of those still. We're still having problems with a water heater. We've got a variety of different kind of random things that we are going to grind through. But they're also, when you hear that, if you talk to Valerie, Alyssa, or Bradley, they talk about a punch list, and it's a little evolved into things they'd like to see, like certain monitoring equipment and this and that. So,
all right. So you said they brought in a lab manager, a program manager, and a marketing director.
Correct.
Is that? I think I'd ask a question. Is that visible to us? Do we see what they're doing, or do we just know they're?
No, they're here.
No. I know they're physically here, but do we know what initiatives they're working on? Do we see that, or
we do? They make us. They have tried to include us in all of those things, in the programming, and the events, and the lab manager talks to all of us. Frankly, walks around the building. He's working with Dom. You know, asking questions about construction still. So we're educating some of them on things that we may know, and a lot of which is we're pointing them in the right direction when people get to ask.
Right.
So they're engaged with us, but then they're also, there's a vetting committee they formed where Valerie, Alyssa, they're vetting potential members, just so you guys know I was going to get to this. They've got three folks that have actually signed a group. We've got three folks that have signed membership agreements. They've all gone through a vetting process. There's actually been five or six companies that have gone through that process. I have participated in those vetting sessions, but Valerie's been able to bring in experts on, you know, biology or chemistry or whatever it is. She's got a network of folks, and she's trying to build out a vetting committee, which sounds going to sound worse than it is, of, you know, 40 or 50 people, that when she's got a potential member, she can bring in the six or eight that make sense to listen. And they've had some people they've frankly rejected. They have gone through the vetting exercise, and they said that's not a good fit for the lab or what we want the lab to be.
So, and so with the three that have signed, do we know how many offices that will be? It will be three or more?
It's more, because these guys, just for the reference point, they're all three tenants we already had in the old building. They came over here, but they went through the process. One did not get accepted. Okay. So we don't have new, and we've also had some folks that were not affiliated with our existing space that got rejected. And there's some people, they do a conditional acceptance. You've got to go back. One of the ones they've gone back and said, you've got to do A, B, and C, and then let's take a look again.
Okay.
So they're
looking at offices or labs?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's taken actually a lab, and then one of the members has taken an office. So, and some of them, we've done some different arrangements with shared labs. They've actually want to remove some doors to open some things up. So, you know, they've operated stuff before, and so they're
that's very encouraging.
Yep. So they're moving, and they're not moving as fast as they would like. And the challenge, in part, becomes some of this punch list conversation, right? Is getting a backup system for exhaust, because if somebody's doing chemistry and we lost the fan system, went down upstairs, you need to mount another system up there, which is, you know, $175,000 deal, so that stuff can keep working and running.
Didn't we value engineer that out?
Yeah,
we did that.
We had to do a deduct to get the project.
But it's all stubbed. It's all stubbed out, and there's actually a pipe that goes to where you hook up another one on top of the building. That is, of all the things, expensive is the simpler of some of the fixes. I remember one time we talked about chemistry hoods downstairs. That's a rip the guts apart of the place. And so it's a mess. Anyway, and the floor becomes an issue a little bit too, because if you're going to do the floors and people have brought all sorts of equipment in, it's now an inconvenience. So they're trying to navigate that. We're not the holdup.
Don't we have a backup generator system, though?
Yes, but if the fan system itself goes down,
fan system.
Not the power backup. Okay. You have power, we just don't have another fan system. And there's a backup. Remember, Bill had mentioned a backup water heater, a backup boiler. I mean, there's some things that, again, some of those can be put in. We also felt, if you recall, that the price that Culpepper quoted us to do them late was...
It was expensive, like $250,000.
It went from $150,000 worth of stuff to somehow $450,000 worth of stuff. FSU may have better purchasing power.
And they won't have the 15% markup.
So I'm trying to think about it. What else? So that's kind of the punch list. I mean, we're going to add some eyewashes because that makes the downstairs rooms more attractive. And actually, we're going to run some plumbing, make a plumbing run, even if we don't add eyewashes everywhere, where we'll stub out the plumbing so that it's easy to add that later.
That's smart.
I mean, if you're bringing the guy in, that was Bill's idea. If you're bringing the plumber in, let's run the whole way. Just so it's there if we need it later. Yeah. You just don't want to tear it up more than once. Let's see. EDA updates for the benefit of everybody here. I have, or Melissa has, communicated with the EDA. Remember, this is different parties for the lab as well as for the Build to Scale grants. The status of that is they are waiting on us to ask them for something. That something is largely going to be which entity in FSU's orbit is going to be the recipient for the lab, and then ultimately for the Build to Scale. The Build to Scale really just has to sit and wait till we define the lab, because the conversation would be naturally, if we're going to move the Build to Scale, or any request, frankly, there's going to be an extension request, there may be some creative way where the RDA holds it but pays FSU to run the lab like they're doing now, because this is all on their nickel still. And we have something in our grant for some of those positions.
Yeah.
So that'll evolve, but I got to get the first piece done of where's this lab going to go in the FSU orbit. And Kevin has advanced that on our behalf, as has Valerie, but that is decisions that other people have to make and get us an answer to.
Do I go to Stacy for approval or partially the president?
Well, it's going to be, it'll be Stacy and Kyle that are making the decision. They will confer with the president. They'll be in lockstep. And I've leaned in as recently as this morning again.
Yep. And we don't think the EDA is going to care. That's just an FSU. And the complicating factor, as I understand it, is the loan, the $4 million loan. And it was made by one entity. And if we do it to another entity, how do they unwind that? EDA is not going to care about any of that stuff. FSU cares about how they paper that up.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so the good news is, especially as it relates to the building, that our contact has reached out, you know, tell me what you're asking for so I can start trying to figure out how to do it. So anyway, I already mentioned FSU operations in the lab. As I mentioned, we've got three members. We've turned down a couple. They want to do what's called an affiliate member program, where they're going to let certain folks that are working on FSU IP have a membership, no space, you know, but they can use common areas, they can use printer, they can use break rooms, they can reserve room, just to try to build some activity and some energy in the place. And frankly, it's already better just in the last week, where we've got Pierce could do it stuff, and you've got Eric, but you got activity happening, and you hear noise in this place now, right? And the other thing, it will help us figure out what else isn't working. We cannot plug into every outlet. We cannot figure out if something is underpowered or something keeps breaking until we get people to use stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to mention your newest friend on the outside?
And I've got a woodpecker. Yeah.
And how long can we keep that open for discovery before we run out of a position that Culpepper would fix it? Before no longer is a punch list item.
The punch list, you know, I believe, and we got substantial completion certificate signed by Culpepper, was delivered to us late May. And we're supposed to have a 12-month warranty on everything.
That's what I was going
to say. From substantial completion.
Yeah. From there,
there is a bit of ambiguity about temporary CO. My position is I have a document that they submitted to me that says this is substantial completion and all warranties last 12 months from today's date. And there's no exceptions. And there's a place for exceptions. It doesn't happen. So
it's
not
May.
An issue yet, huh?
We have until May.
That's right. That's my position. And again, we're still inside the December position for now, so it doesn't matter when we get the TCO. So we'll see what happens. They have not. Anyway, so that's FSU. That's what I've got on the building here. The next one is just in the LCRDA in general. Everyone knows that the legacy buildings, 82,000 feet, transferred Sunday.
Congratulations on Michael on that. There was a huge amount of heavy lifting to.
Yeah, boy.
And I don't know that everybody was able to see or appreciate, but just getting the T's crossed and the I's dotted on the survey issues, that was
much harder than we had anticipated. It really should not have been.
But you know, got to the finish line. DEP was very helpful, and Michael did a great job with all that.
So the legacy buildings are done. Next steps are the NFIL parcel. And remember, when we talk about these transfers, we're not transferring buildings. We're transferring underlying real estate that has buildings on it, happens to have buildings. They care about the legal descriptions of the property. So I am drafting, Peggy and I worked on this today already, the Danfoss avalanche piece. That piece, for you guys' benefit, is going to have to go all the way, it sounds like, to the cabinet, because it is outside. Because those are ground leases, and then they built their own buildings. And they're for profit. So there's some wrinkles on those parcels. There's about 7 or 8 parcels total. That will ultimately, DEP will recommend approval to the cabinet, but it's going to ultimately have to go because it's outside of what they call their delegation authority to just do in the normal course of business. So that we're going to start on that. I plan to submit something to them no later than early next week to start that process.
To DEP.
Yes, and so then they'll get it on the agenda. And I know, but that one is pretty clean, frankly. It's about, like I said, it's about 7 parcels. 2 principals. I'll send them the subleases that they have. I have all the legal descriptions. Make the same request I made, and then FSU will be involved once we get through DEP, which we provided what we needed.
And who will end up managing those leases? FSU will manage those leases.
We expect those to get added to the FSU leases, just like they did with FIPS, if you will, or Morgan & Johnson. They'll be added. Remember, it's on our lease. It'll come off of 3131 and move to 2736. I can't remember.
Yeah, and 2736. And to say manage is maybe a little bit of an overstatement. There's really very little that
has. Because they're tripling that deal.
They maintain their own property. They do pay the CAM. They do pay the CAM, and that's about it. Otherwise, they're responsible for everything. And then we've got ponds and roads. Will be another one. Remember, once I introduce the roads, we're talking about the city. The ponds may have some city and DEP elements that will have to be processed. And that will probably be the last thing we do, because we still need to knock out the declarant rights. There's a couple of things, CAM, DRC, that's FSU and FAM are going to have to work on. Again, it's not urgent, but that'll be a matter to be closed out. And the roads, interesting enough, we've surveyed everything in the park except for the roads. And so the expectation would be, it's, and I forget the term all the time, but it's everything but four.
Whatever's
left. That's right. It's the less than accept. Sorry. Yeah. I cannot, for some reason, never remember it. Less than accept. So we'll have assigned everything of the 207.64 acres out, and the leftovers will be the roads, and so we anticipate that would be the last thing. And I'll probably have to have the city's involvement at some level, at least acknowledgement, because they have an easement over those.
What about the trail? Is it on? Is
that's in the pond, yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, and so that's got, I've got surveys of the ponds, we've got surveys with those two, but the,
okay.
And part of the trail arguably is picked up in the back corners of everybody's parcel.
Yeah.
And there's maintenance to be done on the trail now in place?
There is, and the pond from the tornado.
Yeah,
yep. Yep, and so that's an open issue. We're working with FEMA. That's my next thing here. And then Eisenhower's the next step, so that's the other one still out there. Park cleanup and insurance. We are getting closer with our insurance argument with those guys on the settlement, and then FEMA has represented they will step in and cover certain things as well. We certainly know the only one who's going to participate in the pond stuff is FEMA, because we didn't have insurance, if you will, for the pond or trail. Hopefully get that resolved in the next couple weeks, then I'll get work with FAMU and FSU in terms of how do they want to deal with that. FEMA will be us probably, because the pond is going to be us, and that we still control that pond for now. I'd like to have all that done before we, you know, try to move stuff the pond around. And that is what I had on those issues.
Any questions for Michael on that? All right. Any new business?
We do have an open Board of Governors seat.
Batista
seat. Yeah. So just we can recommend, you know, I'll mention that at the full board meeting too. That seat is open.
Do we need to fill that with where we are?
I mean, it'd be great, but if we can't, we can't. I mean, we have plenty of people don't show up all the time that are on the board. Yeah, that makes Peggy nervous, because she has to scramble that much harder to get a quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an at-large seat. So arguably that's the responsibility of the commissioners to figure that out if they want it. Right? I mean,
mm-hmm. It's not an appointed seat.
Well, we have Kathleen Ahm coming on.
Nope.
That's why we have an open position.
That's why we have the open
seat. She backed off?
Nope.
What happened there?
The county determined, the county attorney determined there was a conflict, and so that she was not going to be approved. And she pulled her application. After they told her that, she rescinded her application. I mean, you guys just skated through. No, I'm just joking.
goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Any other new business? None? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Mm-hmm.
Good meeting, everybody.